today, Mick Molloy has run a few tests and may have the reason Australian athletes are performing below expectations at Atlanta. Also today, we meet the Hutchins Yates baby. I'm not going to say its name. The new look ABC. We've got a sneak preview and Moscow's threatened vodka ban. How will it affect East-West relations? As always, we've rolled out the love machine. You can get embroiled in Radio Gladiators. And joining us live once again, the man with the number one album in the country, Paul Hester. Yes, it's all coming up on the program that always goes for bronze, Martin Molloy. The new midweek edition, people, with myself, Tony Martin, and this bloke here, the official mascot for Australia's hockey ruse, Mick Molloy.
Yeah, I don't know what kind of suit I'm supposed to be in, Tony.
Oh, I think just one of them little cheerleading skirts and a couple of pom-poms and a bit of a hockey ruse song, and you'll be right.
Well, you reckon I can just knock something up at home, can I?
Give it a go. And what is going on in Atlanta, Mickey? Anything we need to know about?
Well, Tony, I spent the entire night in front of the telly last night watching the commercials of the 26th Olympiad. Yeah, that's what it looks like to me. It's that special time tone that occurs every 4 years when the world sits in front of the telly and watches 2 weeks of non-stop advertising, yeah, pop and tailed with the odd sporting event.
Oh, they've still kept those, haven't they?
Yeah, they've retained them. It's a nice touch. Mm. So far, the most inspirational performance I've seen in these games has been turned in by Dougie the Pizza Boy. You just can never write him off, Tony. No. He just keeps coming. He's going for gold. And it's a good thing someone is, because so far we've pretty much come up empty in that department.
Yeah.
I think it's something we need to talk about without pointing fingers or laying blame, but we need answers. Sure, as a nation, we're caked in bronze, but with apologies to Peter Russell Clark, I need to ask the question, where's the gold? What's the problem? Is it something to do with our training techniques? Is it the heat? Is it the podium? Are they afraid of heights, Tone? Is that it? Are athletes afraid of heights? Oh, I'm not getting up there. My nose could bleed. What if I freeze and have to be talked down by officials? When our gold medal shooter was standing on the podium, I distinctly heard other Australian athletes shouting, don't look down! Don't look down! Yeah. And while we're talking podiums, Tone, can I express...
Because we don't talk podiums often on the show.
We don't. This could be an opportunity. Do you think?
Talk podiums. Mickey.
All right. While we're talking podiums, Tone, can I express my disappointment at the behaviour of some of the successful competitors?
Yeah.
Well, you know, they train like maniacs non-stop for 4 years, bag a medal, and then just stand around like big blonks on the podium. Mm. Where's the floral wreaths and the magnums of champers?
Yes,
I want to see a gold medalist shaking the crap out of a big bottle of champers and turning it on the other two before going the skull.
Oh, yes.
And
please.
Sure, the anthem's a nice touch, but how about a few requests just to break it up a bit? Got any chisels? When are we going to see three athletes astride the podium doing the nut bush?
Oh, yes,
is that too much to ask? Is that too much to ask? Do you have to get off the podium, Tone, immediately after the anthem, or are you allowed to just hang around for a while?
I'm not sure what the protocol is.
I might just stand here for a while, fellas. I'll catch you later if anyone's looking for me. You know where I am? Wow! It's amazing what you can see from up here. Can you smoke on the podium, Tone? Is that allowed? Or would you have to put it out before you got on? Because it wouldn't be a good look to see, you know, a few butts just lying around on the podium, would it? Yeah, no, I'm just thinking aloud now, aren't I?
You could ash it out in the Olympic flame.
That'd be good.
Big saucer.
Now you're thinking. Here's a question for you, Tone.
What's that?
It looks like the Australians could win the gold in the three-day equestrian event.
Right.
And it's got me wondering, firstly, who gets the medal? The rider, the horse, or is it one of those 6 months in my house, 6 months in yours, John? And secondly, how do they get the horses on the podium?
Oh, well, that's I'm not sure if I've seen it.
Because they're not that big. The horses are going to have to kind of, you know, do that crouchy tippy-toe thing, you know, like elephants at the circus. And I'm no expert, but I imagine the riders will have a bloody hard time just staying on because they're up there for the entire anthem.
Yeah.
You know that, don't you?
Are they?
Don't be surprised to see someone standing out front with a whip and a chair.
For all those times to be.
It's Celine Dion, Because You Love Me, here at Martin Molloy. And Mickey, let's leave the Olympics to one side just for a moment.
Thank you, Dickie.
And find out what's happening inside the Martin Molloy Galaxy of Stars. And listen to this, Mick. The artist formerly known as Prince has cancelled a guest appearance on TV's The Simpsons because they wouldn't let his chauffeur write the script.
Is that right?
Absolutely true. Simpsons creator Matt Groening says Prince was delighted to be on the show at first, but then he started referring to scenes that weren't in the script. It turned out he was referring to another script written by his chauffeur, which unfortunately wasn't up to our usual standards. When we told him we'd really prefer to use our own script, he walked.
Did he?
See, so Prince is letting his chauffeur write his scripts for him. Well, that explains his last couple of movies. Graffiti Bridge, Under the Cherry Moon. I think they were both written by someone whose dialogue is really more complicated than "Shall I keep the motor running, Mr. Formerly?" This bloke writes everything for Prince, apparently. Right. Do you reckon he's called in with a texter every morning to write the word "slave" on his boss's right cheek? Would he have the word "chauffeur" written on his own cheek? I don't know. Questions. But actually, I understand Prince is so miffed over the Simpsons affair, he's taken to appearing in public with just the word "don't" written on his face. But Prince, on The Simpsons, what would that have been like? I just want your extra time in your... Sorry, Vicky and myself.
Got I knew it was coming, but I still enjoyed it.
We got a bit carried away in production this afternoon. Here's another one. Flying around with the toys. Leave them alone. Yeah. All right, but here's some sad news, Mickey. Claudia Schiffer has left David Copperfield. Yes, apparently they went to bed together last night, and when he woke up, Claudia was gone. There was just a big, giant Black Panther. 2.5 hours I spent on that one.
Yeah, well done.
But said one friend, David has gone very cold on Claudia. He's acting as though he never met her. Yeah, well, he's had plenty of experience of that with all those stooges he drags out of his audience. We've never met before, have we, typical Adelaide person? No, sir, Mr. Copperfield, but you're one hell of a swell dude.
But it's all over. I think she just got sick of him hogging the mirror in the bathroom. But, yep. Of course, the big question is, who will be the next Mr. Claudia Schiffer?
1-800-657-657.
Yes, Claudia, if you're listening, that number gets you straight through to Pete Smith. Remember, he's all man. Well, actually, he's 90% man, 10% copper artist.
Is that right?
It's never been confirmed.
Good.
And finally, the big news. Paula Yates has finally given birth, and Fifi, Trixabelle, Peaches, Honey Blossom and Little Pixie have a sister. Yes, Heavenly Harani Tiger Lily Hutchins. That's right, they've added a Tiger Lily.
Mm.
You thought that Heavenly Harani would be enough, wouldn't you? But no, it's just me. Or is it? It's only celebrities, isn't it, who give their kids these names?
I think so.
I mean, if anyone at my school had been called Heavenly Harani Tiger Lily Moon Unit Dweezil or Zowie, they'd be headfirst down a toilet bowl by play lunch on day one. But the Hutchins baby was born in the bathtub of Yates Chelsea home, which I understand was the only fitting Bob Geldof left in the place. The kitty's already wearing its first pair of leather nappies. And it's definitely a Hutchins. Definitely a Hutchins. I paid it a visit myself just this morning.
There we go. There we go, little Heavenly Harani Tiger Lily. Who's got a stupid name? You have. You have.
Radio Gladiators.
Hey, Steve. Closer
to free. That's the Bodines here at Martin Molloy. And, Mickey, what's going on down at the ABC? Down at our beloved AB. Any idea?
They're tinkering. They're messing around. Who knows what they're up to now? They've got to slash 65 mil.
Yeah.
God knows where it's coming from.
B2 been sacked yet? Have we heard any updates there?
He's on his bike. Saw him pedalling out the front of the ABC studios.
They don't need two bananas in pyjamas. They could just use one and do the split screen. You know, a bit of a mirror kind of arrangement.
Special effects.
That's doubling up, I think.
There you go.
That's time and motion people should get in on that program and have a look. But the new chairman of the ABC, Mr. Donald McDonald, see, he's saving money on names right there. He's doing his bit.
He criticised last night, he criticised aspects of the national broadcaster's news and current affairs coverage and raised questions about its mechanisms for avoiding bias. And that's a completely unbiased opinion from an old buddy of the Prime Minister's.
There you go.
Right there, but do you think things are going to change?
Look, I'm sure something will.
Well, I don't know, but I've got a brand new promo for upcoming programs on the ABC. Check this out.
Here's just a few of the programs you'll be able to enjoy this week on the new look ABC. Monday on Four Corners, the Liberal Party, why they're fantastic. Tuesday, it's a primetime preview of Sunday afternoon with Peter Costello. This week, more moving footage of Peter handing out blankets to the poor. And Caroline Baum reviews a new three-hour ABC documentary, Peter Costello, Man or Superman.
It's a superb documentary and certainly one that my family and I will be watching again.
Make it over and over again.
Over and over again.
And again.
And again.
And again.
And again. It's just that fantastic.
Cut.
Tuesday, and on the new 7:30 report, the new Kerry O'Brien goes head-to-head with the Prime Minister.
Mr. Howard, I'll ask you a straight question, and I warn you, I'm expecting a straight answer. Is it not true that your leadership and new directives re-economic management are possibly the finest this country's seen in over 100 years.
Oh, look, Kerry, I don't know about that.
No, I'm sorry. I need a definite answer on this.
Oh, I don't have to sit here and take this.
Is it not also true that you yourself are an absolute genius?
Oh, that's mere speculation, Kerry, and you know it.
Wednesday, and Bush Tucker man Les Hiddens has dinner at Peter Reith's place.
This is magnificent, Peter. And you're saying that thanks to Liberal Party initiatives, a meal like this is now well within reach of the average family?
Thursday, and Kerry O'Brien's historic interview continues.
Now, Prime Minister, how would you feel if I came over there and gave you a big sloppy kiss on the lips?
Oh, come on, Kerry, now you're playing hardball.
What about a tonguey? Just the one.
And that's followed by the bill.
All right, Josh, bung him in the motor. I'll tell you what, Governor, crime rates have really dropped round here since we started instituting those law and order reforms devised by the Australian Liberal Party.
Friday, and the kids will be singing along with those young liberals in pyjamas, followed by new episodes of Thomas the Tank Engine.
For once, Thomas and the Fat Controller were in agreement. It was only the decisive transport policies of the Australian Liberals that were keeping things on track.
Don't forget to wind up the week with the 7:30 report.
All right then, Prime Minister, let me put this to you. I'm sorry if it shocks you, but that's just how I feel about your revolutionary workplace reforms.
At 8:30, it's John Hines' Movie of the Week.
Now, this next shot is slightly unfocused. Unlike Amanda Vanstone's extraordinary reforms to our education system.
And for those who prefer to rock, stick around for Rage. The Liberal Party. It's our ABC. Get your own.
What's the difference between FA...
Send it back. It's obviously Love from Kingaroy. But it's hard for anyone to do a cover of that because it's already got the drum beat behind it.
You can't kind of make that new again, can you?
No, I'm afraid not.
It's Martin Malloy, by the way. That was Soft Cell, and in the next hour of the show, firstly, Paul Hester is going to be in. He drops by from time to time. And I don't know if he even realises, but his album's at number one.
Oh, well, we'll be sure and tell him.
He wouldn't have any idea. He's just sitting out the shed, nutting out ideas, nutting out concepts, and having a hit record at the same time. Also, the Love Machine will be cranking that up. And what else? I'll tell you what, yesterday's Love Machine unearthed a few stories, didn't it? We were looking for bad dates, and we had a woman who called us up and said that she went on a date with a bloke who stole her tow bar. Pinched the tow bar off the car.
That was love gone wrong.
And then we had a bloke who went on a date with a woman to the footy, and halfway through she
took all her clothes off and streaked across the paddock.
Mm.
So we'll see if we can top that today on The Love Machine. Radio Gladiators is coming up, and I'm just running through a few small news stories here. We haven't got the full details on this, but I saw on the telly news this arvo, apparently there was a party at Buckingham Palace out in the backyard, and during the party, two women was struck by lightning and rushed to hospital.
Is that right?
Not Fergie and Di, sadly. It wasn't him, but what's going on when Buckingham Palace, people have been struck by lightning? We'll keep you up to date on that.
Mm.
Also, Alexander Downer seems to be in the news. And, you know, whenever there's an article about Alexander Downer, you only have to go three or four lines before you see the word bungle.
Bungle.
The words Downer and bungle seem to be inseparable. I'm trying to get the gist of this story. Downer was last night under pressure after senior government ministers said privately they were appalled by his latest handling of a regionally sensitive business aid scheme. They couldn't believe that Mr. Downer used an advisor to publicly announce in Jakarta that government aid would continue over there.
So that's what he's done. He's put him over the advisor. It's obviously a curly one, so he's got the advisor to front up on his behalf while he's, you know, off playing golf, I believe, if I'm watching the telly.
That's right.
So what, important decisions that affect our country's future should be made by the minister himself.
Yeah.
So there shouldn't be any problem with an advisor announcing his sacking.
Probably not.
That should be fine. Yeah. You won't have to front up to that one.
He's not game to announce anything himself this day. Yeah. I'll have two sugars, please. I better get an advisor to say it for me. I'll probably bungle it up. What about the mayor of Moscow, Mickey? He yesterday decreed that vodka can no longer be sold near schools, childcare centres, health clinics or churches in the Russian capital. Why? Because none of those places are within walking distance of the Kremlin, possibly. No, it's an effort to eradicate Moscow's unusually large number of public drunks.
Yeah, replacing them with one unusually large public drunk.
This is Martin Malloy, brought to you by Absolutely Nobody. The radio...
This is Martin Malloy. We're always on for a little bit of this.
Radio Gladiators, your chance to represent your state and win fame, glory, and fabulous prizes. Here's today's challenge.
Fame, glory, fabulous prizes. It's just like the Olympic Games. And here's a bit of disturbing news from this afternoon's paper. Mickey, listen to this.
Tell.
A man armed with a loaded gun walked into the Olympic Stadium for the opening ceremony unchallenged by security officials, it was revealed today. That'd be our own Michael Diamond, wouldn't it?
Quite low. It could be Ian McNiven.
Exactly.
Don't rule him out.
No, but apparently it was some kind of nutso bloke, some kind of stalker with a gun. And people have criticised the fact that he was allowed into the opening ceremony, although Ted Drain says if you stop people like that coming in, it's going to cost us in gold medals.
You're right.
And something to go on with. Now, I'm just thinking about the shooting today, shooting at the Games. You know how you don't have to be a pretty athletic-looking person to be a good shooter, do you?
Nope.
Is there any requirement to look Olympian in the shooting event?
I don't think so, Tony.
If I was in the shooting, I'd just really let myself go. You know, still make sure it was a, you know, good shot. Just so that I could sort of, you know, trundle down the supermarket with a gold medal around my neck. Yeah. Go, yep, I'm one of them Olympic athletes you've been reading about.
Check me out. Watch out. I've got an itchy trigger finger.
Okay, well, I'm just having a look at... I didn't realise there was a cash inducement that went along with the medals.
What are you talking about?
Well, it seems that Michael Diamond will be paid $50,000 for getting gold.
Is that standard?
That's pretty low on the international scale.
No, everyone's doing it.
Everyone's doing it. Israel chucking $195,000 at anyone who gets a gold medal. Japan, only $35,000. It's all over the shop. But Singapore... it's $880,000.
I've heard that, Tone. Although, apparently, if no one gets it, it jackpots until the Sydney Olympics.
Fantastic.
What are they here to get medals for? Why don't they just present them with a big giant checks? Why don't they just, you know, why don't they get Tony Gregg out there, podium side, just going, well done, lad.
And Britain, no payment at all.
No payment for the Brits.
And they have to eat British food for the whole time they're there. But listen to this. Diamond will be paid $50,000, but only if Australia's medal count is kept down, because no matter how many medals are won, the maximum payout will be $1 million. So it's in his interests to nobble the rest of the competitors. That's why we're doing bad in the pool. Michael Diamond's down there attaching weight belts to everybody because he wants his 50 grand.
Looking after his investment. He's taking pot shots at him as they're swimming down the pool. It's a turkey shoot, people. So let me get this straight. He's standing on the podium. He knows he's got 50 grand in the bag.
Yep.
Do they play some thinking music while he decides whether he wants to come back and play for the Cars?
I don't know. I don't know, but is it enough?
What do the Chinese get?
China get only $12,000.
That won't be enough to support their habit.
I don't think they've done very well at all. Well, anyway, we're saying today, what can we offer our Olympians to get more gold happening? Because there seems to be a tone in the media at the moment that we're not doing well enough.
It's all the media. It's the media doing it, aren't they?
No gold. It's all bronze.
It's search for a hero on the front of the papers.
Okay, well, let's just assume that we aren't doing well enough. I don't know whether that's the case, but let's assume we're not. Let's assume that the 50 grand that they're offering for the gold medals ain't enough incentive. What more can we offer? See, I finally got to the point. It happened eventually. I've got to the point. What more can we offer by way of incentive to our Olympians to get them bringing home the gold? I'm suggesting simply, I've got one suggestion, and this is it. A three-pack of CDs.
Three-pack of CDs. It doesn't get any better than that tone. What about kind of win one, get one free deal with the medals? So you can come home with two gold.
Double gold. All right, well, let's not make too many suggestions.
Free beer for the rest of your life.
Okay. Have we got incentive on this segment, Gracie? Yes, step into the prize lounge, people. As I tell you, we have the aforementioned three-pack of CDs. It's playing to win all the Olympic music. You've got China Phillips, Nicky Nguyen, Sacred. You've got Recurring Dream, the very best of Crowded House. Plus, you'll go into the drawer for five fantastic nights. They assure us that they are, each and every one of them, fantastic nights staying at the Hideaway Resort in Fiji, flying Air Pacific, and thanks to our very good friends at Creative Holidays.
That'll get our athletes going for gold, Tone. Five nights, Hideaway.
Well, I'll tell you what, you get the prize. If no one tops that, you get the prize yourself.
Hurrah!
So call us up with your alternative incentives for our athletes at Atlanta. 1-800-657-657.
G'day, Steve Bedwell here and whatever.
Martin here at Martin Malloy with I Want You. It's Radio Gladiators. Today we're asking what can we offer our Olympians to, basically get more gold happening. They're offering cash prizes.
Is that right?
Didn't realise that. It's 50 grand for a gold medal. Let me just see what it is for silver. It's 30 grand. It's only 15 grand for bronze.
And only 15 grand?
Yeah.
You've been dudded.
And a couple of scratchy tickets. So they throw those in. What about in the old days, back when the Olympics started, was the cash incentives? They couldn't even afford clothes as far as I can see when the Olympics started.
You did it for the love, Tony Martin. You did it for the love.
There was none of them Olympic uniforms back in the early days.
No, it was just turn up with whatever you're wearing.
Not having to wear the Olympic uniforms. I think that would be good incentive, but...
in front, Tone.
Have we got any callers? Because I know our phone lines are been blocked up. Somebody's been on my phones today, but I think we've got a few. Who have we got?
Yeah, Rod's keen to put forward a suggestion. Rod, what you got?
Yeah, I reckon you should shout them all the medalists, McDonald's Olympic meal.
A McDonald's Olympic meal. Now, is there such a thing already?
There is, yes.
Oh, I haven't been following the commercials. What's in the Olympic meal? Are there any steroids in there?
No, but we could do some.
I see. So, an Olympic meal. So, they've got the gold, but the Olympic meal would obviously be the icing on there. Do you work at McDonald's, Rod?
No, I don't.
Okay. All right.
Thanks. Plenty.
Okay, we've got Bill next. Are you there, Bill?
Yep.
What is your suggestion? What's an incentive for our athletes?
Well, I reckon I've got a reverse incentive as well, but if they win gold, they get a two-week holiday, Laurie Lawrence free.
Yeah.
And if they don't win, then they've got a two-week holiday with him.
Oh, I see. And no birdie dancing at all for the whole two-week period. Have you been watching Laurie? I understand he's lost his voice.
Yeah, no wonder. Yeah. I've been watching it sort of in between work and that, but yeah.
Has it hindered his a performance at all, not having the voice? Is he holding up big cards?
Yeah, I don't think he's as active as he has been in previous years. He might just be getting a little bit old.
Oh, yeah. I see.
They should get him one of those voice boxes, Stephen Hawking style.
We'll get just some of that stuff running. The Chinese have been using.
Yeah.
Might perk him up.
All right, Bill.
Okay, thanks, Bill. Have we got Teresa with us? Are you there, Teresa?
Yes, I am.
Have you got a suggestion?
Yeah, I reckon if they win the gold, we should get them 10,000 bonus flyby points.
Oh, flybys!
You know, that'd be the first thing you asked when you won a gold medal, wouldn't you? How many flybys does that get me?
Exactly.
And are you someone who accumulates flybys, Teresa?
Oh, yeah, all the time.
How many are you up to?
500.
500 flybys.
It's mystery flight time.
Get out and start training.
All right. Teresa's off to Atlanta. Thanks, Teresa. We've got David next. David, have you got a suggestion, incentive for our athletes?
Yes, I certainly have. I believe with every gold medal, they should be given a free set of steak knives, and Tim Shaw should be there to give it to them out of Atlanta.
So here's your gold medal. But wait, there's more.
That's right.
And what about one of them sets of the entire works of Mozart? Well, that kind of gear that he's throwing away?
That'd be good. Maybe they could play that while you're on the podium.
They could too.
What about the blue block of sunglasses, the hypnosis tapes?
Yeah, well, they'll need those, won't it? It's pretty hot.
All right, that could work. A bit of infomercial style gear, right? Have we got Julianne? Are you next? Are you there?
Hello, Michael.
Hello, how are you?
I'm very well, thank you. That's I wanted to tell you now I've got the opportunity that The Late Show was a wonderful show, and I'm really spewing that it's gone off air.
Oh, okay. Well,
have you still got the T-shirt?
I never got a T-shirt.
Oh, it's a pretty daggy look these days.
Yeah. Down the street with the old Late Show T-shirt. Thanks for saying so, Julianne. Now, how can we help you? What do you think the incentive is required to get our athletes to bag the gold?
Well, if I was a female out there competing for my country and I knew that there was a date on the line for with Lucky Grills, I would go give it all I've got.
Oh, date with Lucky Grills.
And if I was a male, Bronwyn Bishop would do the same.
Oh, Bronwyn Bishop. So it's a dating opportunity.
That's incentive, is it?
That's it.
And you're hoping to win, are you, Julianne?
I'm not suggesting that the outcome of the date would be orthodox.
Told you. How many... No, you're not funny, Michael. You're not funny. No, you're not impressing anyone. You know that. You're not impressing anyone.
That's a dead ringer for my mum.
You know what we should do one day on Radio Gladiators? Impersonate Mick's mum.
Oh,
we'll do that tomorrow. Have we got Bernie on board? You there, Bern?
Absolutely. How you going?
Thanks for waiting, Bernie. And tell us your ideal incentive to get the gold flowing at Atlanta.
Well, I reckon they need a bit of motivation. And I think, you know, music's a great motivation. So I reckon the best of all should be that anybody that doesn't get gold, they'd be presented with the complete works of Yoko Ono.
Oh, Yoko Ono. You sitting on any Yoko Ono albums around your place, Bernie?
No, I've had to lock them away and get rid of them.
How do you do that? Do you bury them? Are they taken to another country and
I'll let them outside a toxic dump.
I think they have to put them on that special ship to Scotland. They get deprocessed and then they come back.
I saw a couple of guys in the Dustin Hoffman suits. You know, the ones from Virus? Taking them out of the house.
Though. They sort of sounded the same either way you played them, but forward or in reverse, it didn't really matter. So you sort of got good value.
Is that our winner? I don't know. Have we struck gold so far? 2 weeks away from Laurie Lawrence, flybys, steak knives, dating, Yoko Ono.
It's all sounding bronze to me.
It is. What do you got,
Tane? I mean, I can't even split them.
No. Should we go for the Yoko Ono? Yes, sensational indeed.
I'm still not quite sure how it works, but it's won.
And wait, the next five gladiators we do, everyone will be calling up with some Yoko Ono related suggestion. And you've got the 3-pack of CDs. It's a Yoko Ono free 3-pack.
Fantastic.
And you've gone into the draw for the trip to Fiji, courtesy of Creative Holidays. We're drawing that this Friday, so be listening then.
Will do.
Thanks, Bernie. Thanks to everyone who took part. We'll be back in the next hour with somebody who, well, he's struck gold on the old album charts right now, and that's Paul Hester.
This is Martin Malloy.
Man, I'm starting to feel poor.
Brought to you by Absolutely Nobody.
The Love Machine, it's up and running. And next up, we're talking through our hats once again with Paul Hester.
That's the Tony Rich Project. Nobody knows here at Martin Malloy. Back in the 70s, everything was a project.
A major one.
Remember there was that Alan Parsons? He had some kind of project going.
It was never completed. Still under construction.
Was it musical or was it just something he was working on out the back?
I don't know, Tone.
In the shed. Hey, that sounds like a cue to bring in our guest, this bloke. He always seems to be just passing by. I'm not sure if he knows this, but he's currently got the number one album right around this big brown land, namely Crowded House's Recurring Dream. Let's move him into the upright position and see if we can extract a word of sense from Paul Hester. Thanks, Paul.
Thanks, Tone. I'm back on the charts.
Yes, back on the charts. Now, is this like our Olympians? When you get to number one, does somebody send you a check for 50 grand?
No. You send the check for 50 grand to get to number one. That's how it works in our business.
Oh, I see.
You know, I think that's where the old athletes, you know, they get the money at the wrong end of the game. They should be going over there with 50 grand each in the pocket. They say, hey, no questions asked. Here's 50 grand. Have a good time. Wink, wink, nod, nod. You know what I'm saying. You know, but they don't, do they?
No.
Cashed up. That's what they got to be.
That's right, mate.
Good pair of spikes.
Now, can make the difference between gold and bronze.
Look, you know, I don't know what we're doing here. We should be coaching.
Paulie, it should be. I'd like to see you running down beside the pool as our athletes go for gold, Laurie Lawrence style, just giving them a mouthful, Paul.
Giving them a mouth. There's many techniques that can be used. The gourbillon, which was a popular one at high school training where you would spit, keep continually spitting behind the swimmer, and he would get, you know, try not to be spat on. So he would keep to a certain pace, and that's how you would pace train, you know, in the early days.
And then dob you in when he's finished.
Dob you in finished. I don't know. I mean, I feel sorry for the athletes. I mean, I think they're all doing great, and it's like no one here can beat them. So what are we all going on about? It's not like, you know, if they all came back, you know, so who came third? Bronzy or whatever came back. It's not like any one of us could beat them. You know, it's not like anyone here is any better. But, you know, all of a sudden we're all really upset. Yeah, you know, it sort of strikes me as a bit odd. Sorry.
Now, Paul, are you someone who sits there? I know our Sydney office have planted somebody, the people at Today FM have parked somebody in a shop window watching the Olympics morning, noon and night. They're not allowed to leave the shop. Is that what it's like around at your place? You're sitting there on the beanbag with the remotes just surfing the Olympics.
You know it, baby. That's what's going down at my house. It's 47 channels and nothing on. The old Hesse's house. Yeah, we got one on the shed. We got, for anything picked up on the other channels, which isn't much. Yeah. And we got channel 7 coverage for bore in the lounge with that funny-looking guy I've never seen before. Who's he? Yeah. Where's Maccas? Maccas knows what's going on. He's got computers coming out of every orifice of his body. He's got facts and figures. He can do anything he wants at the touch of a finger. Why isn't he there?
You don't need anybody else when you've got Bruce McAvaney. He can do everything himself.
And correct. He could run.
He could run and commentate.
He can
He'd
jump.
Let you know how he was going as he did it.
He could be in the sprint with one of those little headsets on.
Going, weightlifter.
I'm going sensationally. It's sensational. Oh, gee, I haven't seen a run like this since 1983. Oh, look at me go.
I'm winning the marathon. I'm in the lead. Oh, I'm coming to the Paris end of Atlanta. You know, he's a beautiful man, but he's not used. Once again, the coaching at Channel 7's is all over the place. You know, you've got the wrong people in the wrong events.
Right.
Did you get into the equestrian event? Have you been watching that? Because that's been taking up a fair bit of the coverage so far.
There's been a bit of trotting going on, hasn't there? Yes, well, I mean, fortunately, that's one of the better things. Like the person who's commentating on that actually knows about the event.
That's Stan Grant.
Yes. Oh, well, Stan's not butting in, so that's good. He's letting the other woman say everything. She knows what's happening.
Yes.
Stan's here, you know.
I'm sorry. I'm dazed for a moment. I hadn't heard the name Stan Grant for about a year and a half, and I'm having to
hear
Stan Grant.
He's back. He's got an album. He's back. The Foxtrot. It'll never be the same. I mean, they've just got all these old dorky people in the wrong talking about stuff they don't know nothing about. Some idiot talking about the basketball the other night going, oh, it's this and that and the other, and it's fantastic. Oh, the emotion and all, gee. What's that when they put the ball in the net? Oh, that's a goal! You know, I mean, do we need that?
I'd like to see you in the booth there, Paul Hester. I think that'd be sensational. I'll tell you what the events lack. You know, I'm bored very easily by sport, and when I look at blokes running, it's just a whole lot of blokes running. That's all it is to me. I'm sorry. I don't mean to offend sensibilities. What if the runners were dressed up a bit more like the people who used to take part in It's a Knockout? Remember that? People would be dressed as a giant bottle of crow sauce. They'd be running along like that with a big sort of clodhopper Mickey Mouse shoes on. That'd get me fired up.
A giant's 100 metres hurdles. You know those, and then they fall over and they can't get up, the big giants. You know,
in the decathlon, surely there's room for one event where two people sit on a greased pole whacking each other with pillows. I mean, come on!
Yes, it's your informed Olympic coverage here at Martin Molloy. Paul, we're not finished with you yet. Can you stick around?
I'm stuck.
And since you're at number one with your big LP...
Oh, money's rolling in.
We thought we'd revisit your days as a teen chart-topping success. Here's one of your oldies, one out of the trunk. It's Crowded House on Martin Molloy.
Medley from a little outfit called Crowded House. And the stick man for the band, Paul Hester, is with us. And, Paul, I have to say, that song there, there's a fantastic live version of it on the bonus CD.
Oh, there is.
From your recurring dream. It goes for about 7 minutes. You bugger the whole thing up halfway through.
Yep.
What's the story there?
That's totally scripted.
Yeah.
Every word. It took us months to get that right. No, that one was...
Did that happen a lot? Did you often...
Every night, unfortunately, that happened for the keyboard player. Mark Hart had a great piano solo. And we used to stop at the start of it. Every night, never got to play it for 3 years. He tried to play that solo for 3 years. We never let him. Remember that, kids, when you're starting a band?
And tell us about this live album, because there's some terrific stuff on there. How many tapes did you have to go through? What was the genesis of that?
Right now, that's the best one we've ever done, you know, and all this. And of course, you know, there'd be a few spliffs going around, everyone would be potso. So, by you know, I go back to this logbook years later, and it's got like as the lists went on, it got more ridiculous to the point where, you know, Sister Madley, sublime version, most and best version ever, whispers and moans. Now we're getting something, best version ever in the universe of, you know, it was like crap. They're all crap.
So, Paul, am I right in saying that? Testing procedures on getting into Crowded House weren't quite as stringent as getting into the Olympic swimming team?
Oh, no, I think they were more so. I mean, we've always been honest about our drug taking. We're very upfront about it. And I think, you know, I think it's going to be a new game. It'll be a new Sydney will be the one, won't it? That'll be the drug Olympics for sure.
You think so?
Oh, it'll be beautiful. There'll be a whole other ball game going on. Melbourne could have the clean version. Sydney could have the sort of druggo deal.
So
the cross, you know, it's all up there, it's all happening, graft, corruption. Well, they love it.
So all our sprinters would be running along doing the 200 metres with a VCR on one shoulder.
Yeah.
It'd be fantastic. Look.
That could be one event.
Yeah. Now, Paul, I must ask, I know you were looking pretty steamed when you came in here. We're always interested to know what's going on at the shed. I understand there's been some furniture delivery trouble at the shed.
I bought a chair for the shed.
Yeah.
Haven't bought much for the shed, as you know, but I went down to IKEA.
Oh, yes.
Me, John Citizen, Paul Hester, went down there and ordered a chair. No worries, Miss Tess, it'll be there in a couple of weeks. 4 weeks tops. If you pick this material, no worries. 3 weeks tops. Tops. Give us your money. Okay, piss off. Right, you know, here we are, 3 months later.
3 months?
He's ringing me up. Someone's ringing me up. I get the chair delivered at 6 a.m. in the morning by two strapping blokes coming into my bedroom. Go, oh, it's from IKEA. You know, I mean, I don't care.
Were they Swedish?
Chair. Oh, look, now they haven't bought the footstool, so I've got nowhere to put my feet. You know, I look like Ronnie Corbett sitting on that big
and
chair.
And I hope they've already assembled it for you, or there's another 8 or 9 months.
No, forget it, mate. I asked them to assemble it. Maybe that's why it's so late. They're all at the factory going, how do you put this thing together?
All the instructions are in Japanese.
Stupid.
It must be a bloody good chair. Oh, is it coming from Sweden, do you think?
I don't know. But,
I find that if you buy those, if you go to those shops with the kids' head furniture, I went to one, it wasn't IKEA, it was another brand recently. And I've seen a sort of a cupboard kind of a deal. I've gone, cupboard, good for putting stuff in. Get myself one of those. Can I have that cupboard? And they go, oh, no, we can't give you that one. That's the floor model. We'll have to call to the warehouse. It'll be another week. And then it has to be sent to Branch 52. Yeah.
We'll need a blood sample. We'll need your home address, pay number, your parents. We'll need several job applications.
Yeah, I know. Just give me the cupboard. I want the cupboard. I can see it. I'm touching the cupboard. We have to call the warehouse.
And the ads for them are all sort of, come to IKEA, simple life, simple furniture, simple process. If you've got a year or two up your sleeve.
No, I see.
You know, it's like, you know, I mean, and then you put your kid in that thing where there's all balls and they just sort of hang around and they put numbers on them. And you go up and you go, I want 7. And they give you 4 back. And you go, no, I'm 7's my kid, not 4, you know.
I'm a skinny bloke. I can get into that plastic tube. I get down amongst those balls and that's a Saturday afternoon's fun for me.
I bet it is, Tony Martin. I've been to your house. I've seen how you relax.
Well, I know that when you get home, that chair's going to be there with a big ribbon around it, I'm guessing. Get yourself a Smokey Dawson, boys. They bring them around and fire it up on the spot.
It's there to go. What's that? What's the Smokey
Dawson? Smokey Dawson chair. It's like a mechanical bull, except it looks like a chair.
You know, it's one of those, the like, recliner rocker, three-position comfort deals. Oh. You slip a 20 in the sleeve and it just vibrates non-stop. Goes like the clappers.
And you've got one.
I'm afraid so.
Man, I missed out.
And does Smokey come around himself and install it for you?
He creeps into your bedroom while you're sleeping. Wakes you up. It's here.
Oh, right. Well, I think that's enough chair talk for one day. Paul, yeah. We'd like to thank you for coming in. Now, have you got any crowded house news? Every time you come in, the band seems to be back together or split up. Is there any contact at all between you and Neil Finn?
What's going on?
No. I talked to Mark Hart the other day, the youngster who joined in the end.
Yeah.
And he got a call from Supertramp a week after he's left. and they said, we're putting the band back together. We're going back on the road. Will you rejoin? Because Mark used to be in Supertramp, right, when that guy left. And so he did. And so he went to have the meeting, and he used to have to sing that song, you know, the logical song. Illogical, reciprocal, persona. Times, you know that one.
Yeah.
He had to sing all these hits because the other guy left and G Mark took him over. And so all the reviews were like, oh, Supertramp were great, but the new guy's crap, not as good as the old guy. You know? So he had to put up with that for months. So he goes into the meeting, says, look, I'll be in it, I'll do it, I'll need the money. And he said, there's one thing, do I have to sing the logical song? And they said, how much do you need to sing it? And he said, this much. And they said, fine. So he's going to do it. He's going to be singing the logical song. So when he comes out, Junos, don't, you know, just go easy on him. And if you want to slag him, because you're getting paid well for it. You won't mind.
You know, I think that's as good a reason as any for Crowded House to get back together. Is there any call for a reformed Supertramp?
I don't know. Maybe we need to go and, just check that out. I think we need to just go away and disappear for a while. Yeah, pop up in, singing backups for Johnny Farnham or something.
Oh,
special Christmas special.
Well, make sure you tell us first. We want the scoop because we're hanging out for an exclusive. We haven't got one yet in a year and a half. So thanks for talking to us today. Paul Hester on Martin Malloy. That's Hootie and the Blowfish, of course, here at Martin Malloy. Thanks to Paul Hester for dropping by.
Unloading.
And off he goes.
There he goes.
Into the night with his little Supertramp stories.
Mm.
He was telling us off air, he's going, yeah, that bloke Mark Hart who joined Crowded House. Mm. Apparently tried to keep it a secret that he'd been in Supertramp. Mm. Band didn't find out till about a year after he joined.
And then they would have had some fun with him, I imagine.
All right. Well, is that any cue at all? No, I don't think it is. But, Pete, what's it time for?
It's time to fire up the Martin Malloy Love Machine. As you know, listeners, love can be a fickle mistress. But Mick and Tony have the technology to tame her. It's called the Love Machine, and it's chockers with the good stuff. Every day, the Love Machine spews out another challenge to test your knowledge and expertise in the field of love, relationships, and good old-fashioned doing the bizzo.
Tell us about your bad date.
We went out to the footy.
Mm-hmm.
About 3/4 through the game, she starts taking off her clothes.
Right.
She jumps the fence and does a streak.
Oh, you're joking.
Yeah. Actually, what reminded you of, I went to the footy last night and I was a streaker there last night.
Oh, well. And did you get her phone number?
If you can successfully rise to the Love Machine's challenge, you'll win tickets and a CD soundtrack to the new Australian film everybody's talking about, Love and Other Catastrophes. Plus, you'll go into the draw for a brand new Volkswagen Golf CL hatchback, valued at $27,000. Now, if that doesn't get the juices flowing, nothing will. Okay, love doctors, crank it up. And remember, a great man once said, love is a drug. That Robert Downey Jr. must be head over heels. Mind you, I myself was once arrested after I was discovered unconscious in someone else's bed. Well, fortunately, neither the police or Abigail decided to press charges, and 3 days later, my pants were returned by express post.
Yes, indeed. He doesn't speak a word alive, Pete Smith.
Those pants would have been sent down to forensic first, Pete.
Now, what about Robert Downey Jr.? He's just mentioned him. I saw him on the news last night, and he's in court. He's been arrested 3 times now, and they reckon he might be going to the big house.
Mm.
And so other stars who have had drug problems have come out in support of Robert Downey Jr. You're there in the courtroom. And you should have seen it was crowded into that courtroom. There was one of the blokes off Different Strokes. He was there. I don't know whether that qualifies as moral support. But listen.
You wouldn't want them anywhere near. Go away. Go away. This is serious.
Hundreds of...
I don't have anything on me.
All right, well, enough Downey Jr. talk. Mickey, you're the only man who's qualified for the task. Pull the lever!
We got it together.
here comes something. Bingo. What you got?
Oh, well, listen to this, Mick. The piece of paper simply reads, "The daggiest thing I've done for love." The daggiest thing I've done for love. Is that a Celine Dion song? Yep. We simply want to know, what's the daggiest thing you've done for love? Everybody, I mean, I can't single one out with regards to me. It's just been one long sort of series of daggy relationships. As far, no offence to anyone involved.
One just melds seamlessly into the next.
But here, all my behaviour has been fairly bloody daggy over the years. But I suppose we're talking about things where, you know, you get a guitar and you go, all right, I'm going to do one of them serenades.
Yeah.
I think I tried it with a piano accordion once. Wasn't very effective. The police were called.
I remember once when I was particularly enamoured with the young beauty, I brushed my hair.
Yeah.
Never lived it down. I brushed my hair, nearly shaved.
Yeah,
can you believe it?
Is there any kind of photographic evidence?
No, none exists whatsoever. Well, daggy things you've done for love. Everyone's done it. Maybe you've organised someone to do a bit of skywriting.
Yeah.
I love you, peaches.
A giant cake with somebody bursting out of it. That kind of gear. That's the kind of thing we're chasing. And we're looking for real ones, not made-up ones. We've got tickets to Love and Other Catastrophes, the CD soundtrack. This film, when's it coming out? August 1st. Still not out yet.
Part of, I believe it's part of the Melbourne International Film Festival and was part of the Sydney Film Festival.
Getting about. That's right. It knocked them dead at Cairns, but it's open to the GP, not just your exclusive film festival audiences. August 1st, right around the Big Brown Land. You'll also go into the draw for a brand new Volkswagen Golf. Give us a call. Tell us about the daggiest thing you've done for love. 1-800-657-657.
This is Martin Malloy, brought to you by Absolutely Nobody.
G'day.
It's the Love Machine here at Martin Malloy with, Barry White backing up Mick Malloy there as we welcome you to another machine where the topic du jour is simply the daggiest thing that you've done for love. It's as simple as that. Introduce the lovers, Mick Malloy.
Well, first dagster today is a young man named Craig. How are you, Craig?
Good, thanks, mate. Yourself?
Yeah, not too bad. Now, you're feeling a bit sheepish. What did you do?
Oh, well, what happened, I was seeing a girl at the time and to try and, you know,
get
impress
things...
her.
Oh, I see.
I made a card and then sent it of... all bits of pieces of songs.
Oh, song lyrics.
Song lyrics, yeah. Like there was a bit of "Keep on Loving You" by REO Speedwagon in there. A bit of Mariah Carey, "I'll Be There." Love is all around. Wet, wet, wet.
Yeah. Did you have the phrase "I've been rolling down the road trying to loosen my load"? I got seven women on my mind.
Well, if I'd used that, I might still be with the girl.
I seen it. Didn't cut any sway with her.
Not really. Maybe I should have used a bit of Barry White, "Can't Get Enough of Your Love."
Oh, well, now you're talking decky, Craig. You'll know next time, buddy.
Yes, I know that.
You can't go wrong with a bit of Baz's work, and that's pretty daggy.
That's a good start. REO Speedwagon has been mentioned by name.
Yes.
I'm happy.
The Love Machine has officially opened its account. Do we have Alison on board? Are you there, Alison?
I am.
Alison, what did you do? What was the daggiest thing you did for love?
I was in grade 5, of course it was very embarrassing to have a boyfriend then.
Yeah.
And I sent him a little bracelet type of thing.
A bracelet? What sort of... Describe the bracelet.
Sorry?
Did it have like a shark's tooth or something like that?
It had a love heart on it.
A love heart?
Yeah, it's very cute.
Yep.
And he bought it to school for show and tell and embarrassed the hell out of it.
Oh, did he really?
And what did he say? Look what I got.
Yeah.
So it wasn't show and tell, like, check out this top thing I got from a chick. It was more...
Yeah, basically, yeah.
Oh, dear. Well, that's pretty daggy. And,
there you go.
Did the relationship kick on, Alison?
No, I never seen him since, actually.
Okay.
Do you know if he kept the bracelet?
Probably not.
No.
Do you suppose he's still doing it? Do you suppose, like, he's showing up at work with an engagement ring going, check it out! All right, thanks, Alison. Now we'll talk to Pete. Pete, what was the daggiest thing you did?
Yeah, when I was about 15, we lived on a farm, and my girlfriend was coming around for the first time, my first girlfriend. I was pretty nervous, and I cleaned up the whole house. Mowed about 5 acres of the lawn, got the mop out, mopped all the floors, did the dishes, went absolutely crazy, never done any housework, and she never turned up.
Oh.
And Dad came home.
Dad came home, yeah.
And said I should get more girlfriends around.
All right.
Hey, your dad, once a week, the rest of your life kept going, a girl called for you. Could be round any minute now, son.
That's about right. Pretty daggy.
All right, pretty daggy. Thanks, Pete. Now we've got Pam to tell us about something daggy. Tell us about it, Pam.
Well, my guy is on a cruise ship in the Caribbean, so I think
we've got a winner. That's not the story.
No, it's pretty daggy. But hunted out this old padlock key and I filed it down, took the name off, put a little red ribbon on him and sent him the key to my heart.
Oh, the key to your heart.
But what's even more daggy is he told me he put it on a chain and wears it.
Really? On the cruise ship?
Yep.
So you've sent him a key, the key to your heart. He's put it around his neck, you burst out laughing and going, oh, you dag.
I also wrote him a little fairy story.
Oh, yeah, highlights?
Want to give us a few headlines of that, Pam?
Oh, it's about this prince and meeting his princess, and he's sailing the seven seas, fighting dragons disguised as passengers and things like that.
On the Fairstar. Well, what exactly is his role on the cruise ship, Pam?
He's a lighting technician.
Oh, right. So he obviously does a bit of work for LRB. Oh, I'm sorry. Okay, thanks, Pam. That's pretty daggy.
But
it's it's obviously working, though. Mm. So that's an effective one. Have we got Philip there? You there, Philip?
Absolutely. How you going, guys?
Good, mate.
Tell all.
Oh, well, this is pretty daggy. I was trying to get onto this girl, and I tried everything I possibly could.
Right.
Told her I go to shop at Copper Art and all these sorts of things. But I ended up, she was a Kiwi, so I ended up sending over to the Christchurch Press in New Zealand to get the date that she was born, the front page of the newspaper that she was born. And they sent it over to me, cost me $50. I had it laminated, and then I wrote this love song, which I sent with her, and it was called Another Day Without You.
Gee, and I know this is a bit out of the blue, Philip, but could you give us a few lyrics from Another Day Without You?
I remember the last verse. You got to remember the frame of mind this sick puppy was in.
Yeah, understood. No.
And I was writing things like, I remember one line said something along, I was painting on my canvas, but all I saw was you.
Oh, it's well.
It's just another day without you, another day without you and me, another day without you.
You're a wordsmith.
That's a beautiful bit of work, Philip. And hang on, the phones are ringing. I think Air Supply are on the phone. Philip, you might have a gig.
Well, I sent it to Kate Sobrano, and actually her mother liked it.
Oh, is that right? Is that right?
Hang on. It wasn't Kate Sobrano's mother you were enamoured with, was it?
What did you send it to?
What are you just, like, bunging off copies of this and just posting them out at random?
Watch out, I'll send it to you for your birthday.
That's a very touching story, Philip, and sorry to make fun, but next we've got Leanne. Leanne, are you there?
Oh, I certainly am.
Tell us what you did.
Well, I was only about 14, I suppose, 13 maybe. We'll go a bit younger just in case.
Yep.
And to show my undying love for my beloved then, I scratched into my arm his initials with a compass.
With a compass!
Like a home tattoo job.
That's right. Nothing says I love you like self-mutilation.
Exactly. Bit of blood.
And so what was it, initials or the whole name?
Well, actually, I went Trev.
Yeah, Trev.
Trevor was too painful.
Yeah, you've
too much pain.
Trev into your arm with a compass, have you?
It was lucky I didn't just get the TR.
It's lucky you weren't going out with Engelbert Humperdinck.
I'd have to use my whole arm.
All right. Well, that's pretty daggy, and it's quite a traditional route too. But is it our winner? We've heard a fantastic parade of stories today.
Well, I don't know, Tony. Alluding to anyone in particular?
Yeah, the loves the Another Day Without You by Philip. I thought that was pretty touching.
And he's fessed up. He sang it for us.
Okay. All right.
Excited. I feel like writing another song.
Don't do that. We can take it back.
That's right. Yes, your songwriting skills have struck gold. You've got yourself, well, tickets to see Love and Other Catastrophes, a fine new Australian film. You've got the CD soundtrack. But best of all, you're one of only 15 people who will be in the draw for that 27 grand Volkswagen Golf, courtesy of the Love and Other Catastrophes team. We'll be drawing it next Friday.
Oh,
excitement plus, yes.
And forget about another day without you. As we leave on the Love Machine, listen to the master. Martin Malloy.
Hi, I'm Willie Nelson's beard, and for years now I've just been hanging around on the end of Willie's chin, not doing a great deal, just minding my own business and enjoying the best seat in the house at every Willie Nelson concert. Well, I've had a bit of a chat to myself and decided it's time to move on. So, if you're looking for a small clump of grey hair to cling to the bottom of your chin, I'm your beard. With over 20 years in the business, I'm not some Johnny-come-lately passenger like that sad tuft of bum fluff hitching a ride under Brad Pitt's top lip. Oh, no. And you won't find me piss-farting about like that nasty piece of work currently making the lower half of Bob Geldof's noggin the laughing stock of the Western world. I'm the genuine article. Check me out. I'd be perfect in the facial hair department for salty old sea dogs, in-store Santas, and hey, fashion me into one of those pointy teepee arrangements and I'd be a dead set Monty for any hypnotist out there specialising in making people run around the room like a chicken. You'll be surprised at what you find inside me, and in just a few short weeks, you'll have grown used to my stale, beery smell. And if you call now, I promise the occasional visit on your face from my very good buddy here. Hi, I'm Cindy Crawford's mole, and I'd love to come round and kick back for a while, just above your top lip. Actually, bugger it, plop me on your ass if you feel like it. I just don't care. So call me here on Willie's chin, and let's see if we can't come to some arrangement. I'm open to just about any offer, although I'll tell you now, I don't do any work in the downstairs department. Now, if you'll excuse me, it's time for Willie's dinner. Oh, no! Soup!
Oh, try getting some in your mouth, you craggy old bastard!
Ironic. That's Alanis Morissette, and that's really all we've got time for here at the very special midweek edition of Martin Malloy.
You love saying that, don't
I
you?
I just say it every week.
You live for Wednesdays.
I come into work, I'm going, this is the day where I get to say, it's the midweek edition.
He practices it all day, people.
Now, I think it's time to check out the cut snakes. We haven't done this for a while. Let's get into the letters to the editor and see just how mad Australians really are. Listen to this in today's Melbourne Age. Shooter Michael Diamond's gold win for Australia is really great. Disappointingly, Mr. Howard's gun laws discriminate against sporting shooters who would provide the backbone of a civilian army should it become necessary to defend Australia in the foreseeable future, writes Frank E. Robbins of Gardenvale. Hang on, we're being invaded by some force with planes, with tanks, with nuclear weapons.
It's the Asian hordes, Tone.
Apparently. Mm. And suddenly, out of Gardenvale comes Frank E. Robbins with his little semi. And that's going to protect us.
Yeah, the invading's army will be looking for someone to invade. They'll be going, Australia, how many gold medals did they get at the last Olympics? No, don't go there. New Zealand? Yes, let's go!
We just hang gold medals from a bit of a broomstick at every airport. They go, oh, not going there. Look how much gold for shooting they've got.
So, you know, unless you've won a gold, you've got no chance of defending your country. That's what they're saying.
Is that the scariest thing about this whole gun? The idea that by taking the guns away, we're somehow disarming a civilian army. Where is the civilian army? Where do they train? Fat blokes in flak jackets.
They're coming here. We're ready for them. I've got me uncrimped semi.
What's going on? Civilian, why don't these people just join the proper army? Don't we have a proper army if you want to get into army games and capers? I don't know.
Hey, Tone, you know the guy, is it Michael Diamond? He's won the gold medal.
Yes.
And as such, he gets 50 grand for winning from the federal government. Yep. Is that part of a buyback scheme? Are they after his gun? Are they paying him top dollar?
It's a cleverly disguised buyback.
Is that the gun, right? I've
Atlanta.
Got a few.
All right. 50 grand for, yeah. What about, you know, we talk about the cut snakes writing in about guns. Did you know that the gun debate is far being outweighed in the letters to the editor by complaints about the new Wheel of Fortune? It's arousing passions. Listen to this letter from today's paper. I wish to announce the death of Wheel of Fortune. Leaving many, many thousands of mourners. John Burgess will live in our hearts forever.
Yes, I got a couple. Channel 7 must be insane to change the format of the successful Wheel of Fortune. We will be another family switching off.
Yes.
They didn't change the format. That's exactly the same format,
isn't it? I think
it
is, except everything's way bigger.
It's a bigger wheel.
You know what? A lot of these letters, if you actually look at them as closely as we do, have just the same phrases keep popping up over and over.
Look at this one. Tell me you haven't heard this one about five times. How embarrassing.
How embarrassing.
Tony Barbara's compare of Wheel of Fortune. I won't be watching again. Bring back John. I watched him for 8 years and loved it. That just smacks at your standard letter, doesn't it?
Sorry, time for my medication. But do you get the feeling that most of these letters are being written down the Channel 9 publicity department?
I think you might
There's a whole lot of them gin sirens penning as fast as they can. Or perhaps...
Change your handwriting.
It's like the Logies. But maybe, I'm just thinking, maybe it's Baby John who's writing them himself. A bitter Baby John sitting at home. You can tell the letters are coming from him because every second sentence there's a couple of letters missing from one of the words. How embarrassing. Okay, well, enough intellectual chit-chat from us for one day. We must thank our guest, Paul Hester, and all our gladiators and love dags. We'll be back tomorrow with comedian Darren Casey. And once again, congratulations to Michael Hutchins. He's become a dad today. The kitty's called Heavenly Harani Tiger Lily, and it's definitely a Hutchins.
There we go, little Heavenly Harani Tiger Lily. Who's got a stupid name? You have.